The Unmasking of Texas and Mississippi. I'm David Brancaccio. The governors of Texas and Mississippi are ending requirements to wear masks, given a drop in COVID cases. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins me with more. Start with Texas.
Well, all businesses in Texas can open at 100% capacity, David, starting March 10th. The executive order does say, though, that businesses can still limit capacity or implement safety procedures at their own discretion. And if COVID hospitalization rates rise above 15% of the hospital bed capacity in a region for a week, local judges can, quote, use COVID-19 mitigation strategies, but they can't punish people for refusing to wear a face mask.
And in Mississippi?
The Mississippi governor's executive order takes effect today. It lifts the mask mandate, replacing it with recommendations that people wear masks. Mississippi businesses are supposed to make good faith efforts to follow state and federal health guidelines, encouraging employees, but not customers, to wear masks.
Now, another key question is schools, right?
Yeah, Mississippi is still requiring masks in schools except for sports practices and games. The Texas executive order says schools should follow guidance from the Texas Education Agency. Its website, though, says schools still have to comply with the mask mandate the governor just lifted.
I should say 275 people died of coronavirus in Texas yesterday, although reported cases are down 10% over 2 weeks. In Mississippi, 43 people died of COVID yesterday. Cases are down 29% over 2 weeks. Ahead of the more comprehensive jobs report from the government on Friday, the ADP people have counted up their payrolls for the month just ended, and a lot fewer were hired in February than forecast. Susan Schmidt is head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors.
Well, it's certainly a disappointment for the market. Remember that ADP is just the private payrolls that come out. Friday, we will see the government numbers, and they do diverge at times. But the ADP numbers today showed an increase of 117,000 jobs in the economy. That's way below expectations, which were almost twice that, over 200,000 jobs. It is going to cause the market some concern.
This is February. More people are getting vaccines. But still, I mean, the forecasters had all that information, and this came up short.
They did, and that's why it's such a disappointment. I think the market was really looking for higher numbers. And remember that at this point, the market wants to see the economy getting back on track. We need to see people go back into the workforce, and we need to know that those jobs are there. We did see an increase in services in this report, but still, it's going to be a tough slog ahead if we don't get better job numbers going forward.
Susan Schmidt, head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors in Chicago. We've been talking to Karen Petru, the financial policy expert, about her new book out today called Engine of Inequality. It points fingers at our central bank for eroding the middle class and widening the wealth gap in America with its low, low interest rates over the last dozen years. Now, one way to fix this, Petru told me, is to carefully read the law and note the central bank does not have just two official goals, maximize jobs and battle inflation, but to also, here's the key word, moderate interest rates. Moderate in the sense of not too high, not too low.
Moderate, if you read the statute, means rates at which, if I save, I get a real return, rates at which banks are encouraged to lend, not just recycle the Fed's big portfolio right back into the Fed. And it means rates that one can afford, whether it's for a mortgage or a car loan, not too low, not too high, set, calibrated to support sustainable growth, not market speculation.
Part of the idea here with these super low interest rates is making borrowing easier so that a person with a small business could get a loan, or a household that needed something crucial, like a way to pay for some health care, could get a loan for that. That hasn't tended to happen.
No, it hasn't. And the reason is the combination of monetary and regulatory policy. And banks have come under a lot of high, costly capital requirements since 2010. And they've made banks much, much safer, which was a good thing in March of 2010. but they have made it unprofitable. The banks are not lending to grow the economy. They can't because they lose money and they're still in business to make a profit.
So what should we do? Deregulate? I mean, this is the kind of philosophy that led us to the last financial collapse.
Oh, no. My book is very strongly against deregulation. That's why we need a combined change in monetary policy to bring rates, interest rates up to moderate rates so that banks can make money making loans under tough rules. We do need to change, though, some of the rules. There are inadvertent rules, particularly the cost of lending to lower income people. We've got this thing built into the capital requirements that assumes that if somebody is poor, they're a bad credit. That's just not true. And I think we can and should make those changes very fast. That won't weaken the banking system, but it will increase credit and do so very quickly.
The new book is called Engine of Inequality, The Fed and the Future of Wealth in America. The author, Karen Petrou, is a financial policy analyst in Washington, founder of Federal Financial Analytics there. Karen, thank you so much.
Thank you, David.
Now, she lays out her overall argument for me in the director's cut of our conversation, which is streamable at marketplace.org. I'm David Brancaccio with our morning report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.